put your hands to do with good results. I'm telling you, I say that the Lord is good.
Yeah. Hey, let everybody say.
Period of time, and I'm not shocked really about anything that's going on.
Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. To Pastor O, my producer, and all the saints and friends for running for Christ and Word of Faith and Straight Gate. And hallelujah. Amen. Faith Apostolic Temple. Hallelujah. Amen. And all friends, young and old, new. Amen. I say praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's truly a blessing of God to be aware of what's going on. You know, not being shocked. Amen. We here in Michigan are experiencing something that's been going on around the world, really. You know, I watch these videos on YouTube that keep up with the disasters, you know, and it's amazing how rain is such a issue, you know, causing humongous amounts of water in the shortest amount of times. Amen. But anyway, amen. Giving honor to Christ, amen. You know, we've been, the last few weeks, we've been talking about, amen, the why the devil exists. You know, why isn't life perfect? And, you know, what is the purpose of all this? And that is the basis of this, my point of training day. Amen. You know, I got that from the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, even though we've been here 6,000 years. You know, man is a spirit. Amen. And he lives, he has a mind, will, and emotion, which is called a soul, and he lives in a body. And we don't really fully understand that. And you can't unless you dwell in the Word of God and spend time talking to God for him to give you a revelation. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we do praise you, we do bless you, we do honor you. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed to purchase us. Amen. It was absolutely necessary, and we thank you for it that you did it. Amen. It's such a high cost, which means that we should esteem it greatly. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our comforter, our guide, our communicator, our teacher, our strength. Hallelujah. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and everyone listening today, Lord. Bless us as we draw closer to that time where we shall be, it shall be truly unveiled what this life is all about. Father God, I ask that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus the Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened that we would better and more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Amen. Father God, I ask you to bless, amen, strengthen us with might in our inner man, particularly those that are going through bereavement. Father God, we're asking that you remember those saints in Canada, amen, as well as those saints where they are being persecuted throughout the world. Strengthen them with might in their inner man. Amen. Bless them, Lord, with more revelation of how to activate the power that you have bestowed upon them. Amen. Father God, we're asking that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work according to you, so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. Father God, we're asking that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Right now, Father, we ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have us to write. Amen. We want it to be all of you and none of me in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's like I said, this is something exciting to go through. You know, right now here in Michigan, all our freeways, major freeways are flooded. I just received the report that they flooded again. They flooded over the weekend. When I'm talking about flooded, I'm talking about above the roof line of a car. Above, you know, almost in some cases above the roof line of an 18-wheeler truck. You know, but we had this experience back in 2014. You know, they said it was a 500-year cycle, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's a challenging situation, but it is an attention-grabbing situation. I'm not going to label who's doing what right now, but I just know that if you're not, if this thing's in this world, put it like this, what's happening now, you could expect to increase. Amen. Do we know that COVID is not the end of it? Amen. You know, Jesus used the word pestilences when he talked about it in the book of Matthew chapter 24, and I believe Luke chapter 21. He used a plural. And that is to shake up the church. Because the one thing about the Bible, it's the only book on the planet that has God's future plan in it. And that's a bold thing to be able to call the future and be 100% accurate. They spend a lot of time and money trying to prove it wrong, failed each and every time. But the reason for that is again, like I say, we're going somewhere. This isn't an accident. You know, even though there's been men that try to say life is an accident with no direction. No, it has a purpose. For one, you know, I mean, man, like I said earlier, man is a spirit. You live inside your body. And we do things, and we do it so regularly that we don't really take deep thought into what it is that we are doing. Like I'm talking now, do you realize how much energy it takes and how much communication with billions and trillions of cells at the exact same time to simply allow me to vocalize? I mean, think about that. If you really get into the science of it, and now with technology, we can look deeper into it. We can see that a cell oftentimes is comprised of cellulars. I can't get into all the detailed description, but what you'll note is that they are individual. And when we look at them, we see a mass. You know, you look at my skin, you would think it was just one piece of entity, but it is trillions of entity working together in harmony to form what you see. And they are controlled by me, affected by me. See, God has been trying to teach us this all along. But what happened is Satan tricked men into developing, quote, religion, when they really were supposed from day one to be learning about the man God, the man spirit, God with a little g. Make sure you say that, little g. I've seen a lot of drama over that issue. Believe me, it's crazy. All right. So what I was trying to point out that the devil exists because God cannot lie. So we need to understand what a lie is. Otherwise, we think everything is the truth. A lot of lies out there that people think are true, okay? There's a lot of Christians believe lies that they think are true. The one thing about it, everything you believe, everything, I'm going to tell you right now, everything I believe I can substantiate in the Bible accurately. You know, I mean, I don't believe something that I'll say one thing and then the actual definition is another. What I say is what I say. You know, case in point, you know, the Catholic Church is trying to deny the president communion. Okay, but their definition of communion is if you don't have communion, you're not in the body of Christ. But that's not what the Bible say. A communion is an ordinance of God to commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You get into the body of Christ simply by confessing faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with communion, okay? That's just a reminder that it has happened. You know, people believe things. So and the Bible warns, if we preach any other gospel other than that which has been preached in the Word, we get a curse. If the Bible tells us further, if we add anything to the Bible, the curses will be added to us. If we take anything from the Bible, our name will be taken from the book of life, which means we're going to hell. And I don't see why people would take that risk, but they do. All right. So the issue here now is, okay, There is a devil. He's still on the scene. God could have evaporated him day one before we even were created, but he didn't, because he wanted his own family. That's what we are. We are his family. We're different. We are different than angels. Angels cannot get women pregnant. Ain't no female angels. Okay, they don't have babies. They don't have families. I've seen a picture once, a little baby angels. They ain't a little baby angels. They come full grown when God make them. And we have authority over them. Okay, and there's a process to that, too. You know, the same process that with any of the promises of God, there's a requirement. There's a condition to it. Okay, we're not going to talk about that now. If you want to know, watch to the end of the video and I'll post it. You know, the same seven causes, the same seven reasons that cause prayer to fail, cause angels to fail, cause of the promises to fail. It's, you know, because the process is about us learning to be consistent in being submissive to God. Now, you're going to, the devil exists so that you can develop strength. Okay, you know, I used to do bodybuilding. And the one thing about it is, you know, you can't make a muscle grow using light weights. At some point in time, you have to put amount of weight that you will have to overcome. And the uniqueness about this, too, is that your spirit begins to demand that your muscle do the job. Your body don't do the job. You know how I know that? I've had the actual experience of going into a morgue. And when you go in there, all you see is corpses, because the person that was inside of the body is gone. So it isn't the muscle making muscle. It's you. There's a reaction that's caused, but your spirit man, amen, causes that reaction. And this is what we are to be more conscious of than anything, the spiritual realm. Because the spiritual realm is the eternal realm. It will never end, but this realm will end. Amen. 1,007 years after the rapture, this earth presently will be destroyed, and it'll be replaced with a new one, and a weird one, square. But anyway, yeah, you can read that in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Anyway, so, but the issue is we're supposed to be learning about the spirit, but if you look at man and how he conducts his life, he's so easily misguided and drawn away, and he focuses on the flesh. And the Bible repeatedly warns us about the flesh. The flesh, your baby, your flesh is no smarter than it was the day you was born. It is dumb, plain and simple. Without you, it couldn't do nothing. You know, it don't know. I mean, simple stuff like you eat. You only need X amount of calories to survive, to make it, to go a certain period of time, to develop energy. And you can eat a full three-course meal, sit down, eat it, be full, and wash it down, and your body in 5 minutes will say, I'm hungry. You know, this is why you see people with them, what they call it, excess body parts. Okay, and we see a lot of that now. Okay. Now, so we've been talking about that. The fact of the matter is that it's iron sharpens irons. Without that opposition, without his, in other words, we need to know the difference. We need to know the difference. Amen. So now we go to the other end. And I'm particularly interested in the millennials, the Gen Xs, and anybody new to Christ. Because, see, you got to understand who we are, okay, where we're going. We are in a critical time in history. Y'all coming in at the end of things, end of this cycle, or the end of this era, or the end of... Now, when the Bible talks about world, it is not talking about the earth. It is talking about the era in which we live. And one of the things you have to understand, Satan has been allowed to make a lot of rulings and do some things in this era. You know, I've been talking about the fact that the UFO was going to become an issue, but not because UFOs or people on another planet. God would have no reason to hide that, because God shared things in the Bible that are really just so awesome that, you know, you think, well, that ain't nothing. I'm just aliens on another planet. Amen. But I know of a fact. I'm totally convinced that I heard from God that's just the devil. Satan is an intelligent being. The average human, the smartest human, last time I checked, had an IQ of 246. That just means he had a good memory. He can't fly. He can't walk on water. You know, he just remembers some stuff, and he can count faster and farther than most other people. Satan, however, has an IQ somewhere up and around 2,500. And the only reason we are able to overcome him is because we have been given access to the Holy Spirit, which has no limit on his intelligence. And that is the thing. And the thing about it is your spirit, your man spirit, your woman spirit actually has that capability. And it is why good people go to hell. You know, that's why. Because if they are not submissive to God, if they don't understand how they have to be submissive to God. If they don't see things the way God sees things, he is not going to allow them to roam the universe with such destructive power. And it would just be total chaos. Total chaos. Look at the world now. I was thinking earlier about the time back in history, not too long ago in the 60s, when our government and other governments would just explode nuclear bombs like they were firecrackers, not thinking about the consequence that it was causing our atmosphere, which we are paying for now. That's why they're concerned about global warming. I got news for you. Global warming, yes, you know, they had famines in the Bible. This is nothing new. But we added to the problem. We concentrated it. We took and controlled and focused. That's about all we did. Okay. So we're talking about now the opposite. If Satan does all the misguiding, then you need to know how to not follow him. And then we're now going to be talking about being led of the Spirit. See, when you become Christian, it is more than just a ritualistic agreement, a verbal agreement that you are doing. There's an actual activity that occurs, okay? When you receive Christ, now Christ is God's Spirit. Just look at it, say on one side of the Spirit is the blood of Jesus. That's applied to you. And it shields you from the what would occur because your spirit is of a sin nature and God's Spirit corrects things. For them two to be together, there has to be a layer of protection known as the blood of Jesus. Now, to understand the blood of Jesus, you have to think in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is not mythical realm. It is a realm beyond what your eyeballs can see. And sometimes you can see it if you can see, you know, we don't have it. It's like we know for a fact there are varieties of dimensions. So you have to think in those terms. Now, you have to think of his blood, okay, without the earth elements of the corpuscles and the all those different things that go in what we know to have blood, the little cellular structure. So what you're talking about is the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, the sinless life of Jesus. And think of it as God coats your, Jesus coats your inner man spirit with his spirit. And that allows you to have direct access to God without you being destroyed. Because nothing unclean can remain in the presence of God. I know that's deep. But like I told you, I don't know if I told you because I like to say I may have some more new people. I'm talking. I'm moving my mouth. But what am I doing? I'm actually controlling muscles in which there are trillions of cells in a variety of nature. I mean, vocal cords and coordinating in a fashion to create a sound. Think about that. I mean, this is not, see, because I when God made Adam in Genesis 2, verse 7, God put his own spirit in that flesh. He didn't make a special spirit. He didn't put an angelic spirit. He put his omnipotent spirit in that flesh. Now, what he did in his wisdom was create a soulish realm that limits what you can do. That's why you are a spirit. You live in a soulish realm. Mind, we can relate to each other because of our mind, will, and emotion. Mind is the focus. Okay, you can cut my brain open. You will not find the mind. Okay, will is energy applied toward what I'm focusing. And emotion is evaluation of what I'm focusing on. You got to think on a different level. Okay, now, that's a powerful creature because outside of your body, if you were to Bob, everybody that passes, the reason why God don't let people that die stay on earth is because they would really be able to utilize the power that they have in the fullness. And he saints of God would probably behave themselves, because, you know, I'm not going to get into that. People talk about what they see and who they see and all that. They are just an entirely different character. But they're still, if you saw me, if we were both dead, if we were on the other side, you would see me. I would look like I look now, except for the fact that I would be spirit. I would be you. That would be the pure me. But I would not be bound by gravity. At the speed of a thought, which is faster than light, I could travel to the moon. By the time I think moon, I would be there. By the time I think Jupiter, I would be there. It takes a satellite 16 years to get to the moon. It took them 9 months to get to Mars. You'd be there. And the fact that the 472 degrees below zero temperature in outer space would be irrelevant. You would not get cold. You would not arrive there with icicles hanging from your mustache. Well, I wouldn't arrive there. I got a mustache. I would not be arriving there cold. I wouldn't be shivering. I wouldn't be hungry. I wouldn't be tired. I wouldn't even need a vessel. Do you see what I'm talking about? I know this sounds fantastic, but think about what's going on with you. You're looking at things right now that are identified by molecules, and molecules, the color of each object is based on the speed of the molecules, but you can see them and interact them. They are, in essence, fields of force. See, we're living in something. You really got to look at this differently, because we are about the 1,000-year period that is coming is going to be another training period. Now, that tells you how deep the training going to be. We talk about going to college for 4 years, and God going to send us to school for 1,000 years, because then we'll be the full spirit man. We now, let's look at some scripture, okay? I want you to look at some scripture. I want you to get this, because we about to run. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, and let me see what I want to read this from. Romans chapter 8. Because, see, we read this, and you know, you're supposed to just read through, but sometimes you have to read through, and you got to stop and take a look at what it is saying, because it is not religion. You can't find nowhere in the Bible where God told somebody to start a religion. Man did that, and he did it primarily motivated by money, okay? You want a good idea of how that came about, there are lots of books on the history. You need to read and see what that came about. But don't let that dissuade you. Don't let that misguide you from the truth of the matter, which is the development of your spirit man. So now we're going to be talking about being led of the spirit. So we're just going to be getting into this right now today. Okay, now this is Paul. Communicating with the Romans at the Roman church back during this day. And I'm going to begin with verse 10. And I'm reading out the NIV this time. It said, but if Christ is in you, okay, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit, and it uses a capital S, so it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the Spirit of God. That's precious. You can't buy that. You couldn't afford it. If you owned the earth and everything in it and sold it, you could not buy it. Okay? And if the Spirit of Christ, now listen at this. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. That's critical. That's awesome. That's tremendous. Because you have to understand, when Jesus in John 20:26, and I believe 20:22, whatever, I know in 20:26, John, when the disciples were meeting together, Jesus appeared. Now, we think of that, we say, that's Jesus, he could do that. But the thing of the matter is, is that you will be able to do that. That's what I'm talking about when I say you will be able to go to Jupiter, you'll be able to go to Mars, you'll be able to go to Alpha Centauri. That thing is like, I don't know, 810 light years away. I don't know. It's a long ways. Take you like 55 years to get there if we travel by our means now, and you'll be there at the speed of thought. I mean, you got to really look at the science of what we have here because it's critical. If it wasn't this critical, life would not be the way it is. That's why it's so demanding. That's why it's so pressing. That's why it's so challenging, because the significance of what it is. If we were just going to be like remade flesh and it just wouldn't age like it should be right now, we wouldn't have to go through all this. If it wasn't a lot of power involved, we wouldn't have to go, but we would present no threat. We really, without the Holy Spirit, we don't present a threat to Satan. He don't get tired, he don't get sick, he don't get hungry. I mean, if you were to get into a knockdown, drag-out fight with him, you'd be tired. He wouldn't even be sweating. See, but now you're talking about tremendous power, and yet now we can command and take authority over him with words. We can command angels. Amen. But listen at that. Think about it. When a person dies, you got to look at what happened. If you ever seen, think about a body that they find, like when they find these mummies that are 4,000 years old and they're partly dust. The life is gone out of them. You got 9 million of cells, 9 million of zeros on that number wrapped to Earth 63 times. They are dead, lifeless. And yet, the saints that died, Abraham died 4,000 years ago, okay? He will come back and just command those cells to reunite and dress him. And then he'll be flesh and spirit. Think about that. Think about that. Moses already picked up his body, okay? We know that. You can read the book of Jude. He already picked his up. I mean, Michael picked it up for him, took it to him. But anyway, you know, he was the first UPS service. But think about that. Now, we're talking something here very extremely awesome, and we are each day we are closer to it. We don't know. The one thing we know we're in the rapture zone. And I guess for the benefit of others, I really just have – there's a lot. Go on YouTube and look up the rapture because, you know, I've been at this 45 years, and there's always been somebody claiming it's the last days, it's the end of days, it's the days of days. But you know what I notice now across the board? The only person I haven't heard, and I probably might have missed it, is the Pope, because they're on a different program. But outside of them, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, all of the full gospel, the apostolics, the Church of God in Christ, all agree we're in the rapture zone. And it don't surprise me, because when you watch God, how he operates, he brings, once he put that revelation out there, and people grab it. Now, the people that don't want to obey God, they're going to be on a different channel. The Bible says it's going to be that group of people that say, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, see, the Bible gives us pieces of the puzzle, and all the pieces of the puzzle are here now, okay? But I don't want to get too far off into that. But the point here is Christ. We're talking power. We're talking humongous power. You know, those of you that watch those Marvel cartoon, Marvel superhero stories, you look at the power they got. Imagine yourself having 100 times that. I mean, I'm serious about that. So a person with that kind of power, God expects two things: for them to master loving him and loving their neighbor. Because we're going to be in the midst of a group of people for that 1,000 years with that kind of power. And God right now is looking at us to see where our love lies. Right now, you know, I was saying it's disturbing that as close as we are to the end of time, I'm still seeing Christians on Facebook that act like they ain't gonna die tomorrow. I mean, people die. I had no idea when I was working in law enforcement, one of the things you didn't want to get stuck with is what they call a death watch. And that's where somebody died in a house and, you know, somebody got to stay there till the medical examiner get there. And, you know, I had no idea. The news talk about, you know, 500 people were murdered. Do you know what? On an average, I remember one year about 15,000 people died in this county alone. All kinds of ways. People choking on food, falling down steps, slipping in the bathtub, stupid stuff, accidentally tripping over rocks, never expecting to die. And they do. I mean, it's something. So you don't know. But that's why you have to have that, I recommend afterlife insurance with Jesus Christ Mutual. Be there when you need it. But anyway, so you have to be prepared. So you need to have knowledge of this, and we need to be ready for this. And you need to, this here, when you get this, you quit trying to be religious and count how many commandments you kept. You start thinking, if you walk in love, you got this thing. Jesus said that, Matthew 22:37-39. You get that? He said you got the law and the prophets. Now, what he mean? Say you done got all the law. The law is what God say to do. The prophets break it down and explain it to you. Okay. So now, so we get back to this. Paul is trying to, now I know this is coming over the head, because first off, you're talking to Romans. You're talking to both Jewish and Christian Romans, but yet you're still talking, now you're talking about coming from Judaism to the fullness of Judaism, and that's when Christ comes into it, from God being on the outside to God being on the inside, which the deep part is what throw them off is they know that Adam's spirit came from God, but there's yet another spirit. You know, a place that I know people, it's amazing, but not shocking, but irrefutable. God could not make Adam perfect. Think about that. Yes, he can, but if he had, he would have made another God equal to him. And at some point in time, there would have been a WWE match between two guys. You know, that would be chaotic and crazy. All right. So, being that it was going to be that you were going to be at best 99%, there would be a need of a covering and a protection from God who was perfect. See, Adam, before he sinned, see, that the distance that God had to cover Adam, see, all this is laid out in the Bible. You just got to get all the detail. I'm trying to just get to the basis here, okay? I'm trying to get your mind to the place of accepting the reality of the spirit man, small s, but now with Christ, you got the spirit man, and then the large S, over the spirit man, so that the spirit man can commune before God. I mean, the Bible says things like go boldly before the throne. That's an interdimensional activity that actually occurs. You're going to the seat of power, but I don't want to get into that right now. So now we're talking about the recreativity capability of your spirit. Everybody that's dead, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when they're talking about the dead in Christ shall be raised first. In other words, graves going to open up. They're going to call their spirit about this, out the grave. That's going to shake up somebody. Again, that's why I got into why the devil exists, because of great deception is coming. They're going to have to explain how them graves, what happened, why did all them people come up out them graves? Why did all them people that was driving cars, boats, trains, sitting at home, watching TV just in an instant disappeared? So to explain that away, they're going to simply say, oh, they're up there in a spacecraft. This thing is working deep. I could tell you some things about that I've heard that is just this. Don't surprise me, but Satan is a liar. But that's how, see, we're dealing with something that's off the chart. All of it. Good and bad. It's off the chart. So you cannot think on the low level. Because, look, we're talking about if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give your life, will also give your life to your mortal bodies through the spirit. All right. Now, I guess we can get close. Now, might well read, I want to skip to verse 13. Well, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, i.e., be separated from God. And now we're not going to get into all the Greek and all that on that, but the bottom line is if you practice, anytime you practice is you do this repetitiously, this is a foundation from you, this is what you believe, this is what you do without repentance, okay? But if the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Okay, now, that's what we're talking about, being led of the Spirit. Now, you have to be able to determine when you are being led of the Spirit. And that absolutely is not possible without knowledge of the Word of God. The Word of God covers every aspect of life you could possibly imagine. You know, I'm going to college and majoring in psychology, and afterward, I'm going to identify all their thoughts and concepts that have been in the Bible throughout the history of man. Particularly the book of Proverbs covers a lot of, the Bible has the psychology of God. And if you read the book of it, they said a proverb a day will help you keep the devil away. And that's the truth of that. Read a proverb today. What's the date? The date is the 29th. Read Proverbs number 29. Amen. But, now, see, again, you got to be led now. So you got to go from step one. Now, this is why we preach the gospel. This is why we minister salvation. Because in John 1:12, it says, as many as have received him, they are the sons of God. Now, note the connection here. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. In John 1:12, if you read that chapter, it's talking about Jesus in a phenomenal sense. Many has received him. That means you got to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Okay. Now, our life is supposed to be based upon we're supposed to be in pursuit of the will of God. That's one of the seven reasons for prayer failure, not being in pursuit of the will of God. Now, see, there's the will of God where you should have a specific assignment from God that you carry out, one at your church, and it may be even your job. You know, Proverbs 3:5-7, I want to read that. Well, I want to read that because it's good. Like I said, I got new people, and I want them to get how we come to these conclusions. Understanding that we take thoughts and concepts from the Bible, and it's a study called hermeneutics. Okay, but the thing about it, if you follow this, you're going to find out how we qualify whether or not these perceptions are accurate or not. Because at the end of the day, I may come up with a thought, but God has to certify it. And I need to be able to know that God has certified it. And it's not you don't have to be a prophet for it to be that. Okay? But now it's in Proverbs chapter 3, it says in verse 5, it says trust. It's another word for faith, confidence. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. See, that's supposed to be the standard of your life. Now, a lot of the challenges that we have, a lot of us, you know, I knew this proverb growing up because I heard it. But I never, most of the part, the God held me responsible for not finding out the details. You know, one thing about God, he don't take excuses. Because I was sitting down and I was going to try to tell him what I would have been if somebody had her, and he said, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it. Because two things exist. God exists and the opportunity to approach God exists. So you can talk to God. I remember I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were talking about they just now new in Christ, and they had their first experience of talking with God, and it really blew their mind. You know, God is I know we can't talk to people. We can't talk to the president, the governor, the mayor, you know, pastors most of the time unless we make an appointment. God is 24/7. He wants you to come to him. See, and what will happen is a lot of times if you are accurate, your pastor, this is why you need to go to church. It's a requirement. Going to church is a commandment. Hebrews 10:25, go. It says to go. It says to go. Okay? For sake, Satan is fighting us on this issue now. This is that he's trying to keep us from assembling ourselves together. Okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay? In all your ways. Listen. When you see the word all, you got to give it the credence that it deserves. In all your ways. Listen. I got a project going. You know, I'm building a hot rod. I buy things at the direction of God. And in doing so, it's costing me less, getting higher quality products, getting exactly what I need. But all that, because like I say, your day should begin that. You know, you need to communicate with God every day. And it's a sad reality that so many Christians go day upon day without even saying hi to God, without thanking him. One of the reasons God did not reach out and stop COVID like he do all the other bugs that's been loose over the years is because that man has gotten so out of, particularly the church, has gotten so far from God that they just go on like it's just treating it like it's a ritual and just give him no acknowledgement and even at times vocally challenging him. So after seeing leaders do that, I'm like, something gonna come change that. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. But again, all that, see, again, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So don't get up and go each day without speaking to God. Don't go each day without thanking God. This is part of your life. That's another aspect. I'm sure that the Spirit of God would lead you to do that because it is good. I mean, it's right. It's his word. It says, praise the Lord. You cross-reference the word praise. Amen. I have a Bible. One of the Bibles I have on my phone is Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. I recommend you get that because it has a lot of good information in it. There's some stuff you have to purchase, the commentaries and the variations of language in Greek and Hebrew cost you $10. You know, believe God for $10. Anyway, but you want to see these things, and what you'll see in studying commentaries is the continuity throughout history. Hundreds of years passed between these men writing their documentation, but you see the same thought throughout history. There's a consistency there. See, so the key is you want to be able to know that you're on the path that God has you for. Don't lose sleep over this issue, because sometimes you ask God a question. I ask God a question, and 2 years later he gave me the answer. Okay, God don't have a watch. God don't have a calendar. There are other issues that he consider priority, and he, if it's a priority, he'll get to it quick. If it's not, just know if it's right, if it's good, he's going to answer. Okay? Now, we're going to get into being able to sense the Spirit. Now, and it's a uniqueness because we're taught not to go by our feelings, but at the same time, that plays a role in knowing if you're in the guidance of God, which is called the peace of God, okay? That affects the decision. Amen. And the thing is, God, what you want to develop this sensitivity, the addressing this after this, I want to use another word, but I can't think of it right now, is by being aggressive toward trying to develop your spirit man to be sensitive to the guidance of God will impress him. And it's telling him your true intent. And he will bless you for it. That's why it says in Psalm 37:4, if you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. See, that's the combination there. All this has purpose. And you want to be, like, particularly now in this time of history, you want to know the direction of God. You want to know, because, you know, I said we just had a flooding incident. I don't think you need to know God. Listen. Cars, I don't care what, I can't even imagine. Somebody asked me today, why do people try to drive their car in 4 feet of water? You know, I even posted on Facebook a picture of a boat and a picture of a car, and showing one floats on water, the other one does not. A car is not a submarine. It's not designed to go on water when it come up over the hood. You have to find another way. I don't care what. If you got to go back 10 miles the other way, it's better for you to go back 10 miles the other way than try to drive through water. Because all insurances won't pay for that. See, now, there's a thing. Now, I believe in a situation like that, particularly with new saints or people that just don't know, he will respond quickly. And there won't be no peace in your spirit. And he might even be, he'll get verbal. There are times when guys get point-blank verbal, you know, why he does that is his choice, okay? Sometimes he just say stuff right off, and I'm like, well, why can't you do that all the time? He never responded to that, so I quit asking. But this is what you want to do. You want to develop that. See, because all this is it has continuity. It's about so that you will get into the place where your life is a lot easier. You will make a lot less mistakes. You will include him in everything. You will be able to do your job better. You'll progress better. You'll be able to run your company better. God knows the future. He wants to be involved in that way. All right. So now, one of the things you want to do is you want to increase the presence of God in you. Now, one of the ways that I know, the way that I know the most, is two things. One, you want to be into the Word of God. You definitely have to read the Word of God. Matter of fact, let us read in 2 Timothy 2:15. You can't, like I say, it is not possible. The Bible is the mind of God. It is God's mind. It was not, man, if you read the Bible, anybody that read the Bible from cover to cover, no man did not by himself write it. He would not, because God, you know, I was thinking about the book of Revelation chapter 12. It jumps so many time periods. You know, it jumps to the future, to the past, to the present. I mean, it all in one chapter. And if you don't know what you're reading, you know, you think that, I don't even think somebody could make that up. You know, and it just don't make sense. But it makes sense to God because he holds the key to it. He holds the key. Now, here's Paul talking to one of the pastors that he has established named Timothy of the church, you know, and conveying that this is, he said, study. Study. That means to put, the word is spoudazo in Greek. That is to make haste, to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. To give diligence, earnest effort. That means you set aside time. I'm going to tell you, a blessed event is when you sit down. Before I do this, I sit down and I let God talk to me. Because at the end of the day, it's what he want me to tell you, not what I want to tell you. How I want to tell you. Because, see, a lot of times I have notes, but he'll add to them as I'm going along. Because he will add according to who's listening or who he knows is going to listen in the future or what is significant right now. And you want that for your life. I'm telling you, the Bible and God will cover every area of your life and timing. You know, he'll tell you some things, I'm telling you. I just recently had an experience where some people were trying to run game on me, and God opened up the cover on them, and I turned them over to the FBI. But anyway, all right, so listen to how this is saying. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is why, verse 16, but avoid profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, there's no question that people have taken the Bible and tried to make it say what they wanted to say so they could do what they wanted to do. I mean, I've heard people say things, and I remember a guy, I'm not going to even mention what he said, because it's so stupid. You know, it doesn't deserve any credence whatsoever. But the fact of the matter is, and this is something that I would notice, because I find that when I ask this question, when I hear something stupid, I ask them about their prayer life. You're not going to spend, two things ain't going to happen. You're not going to praise God every day for 5 minutes, and you're not going to pray for an hour every day and be totally misguided by God. He won't allow it. There have been times before I got ready to pray, God would stop me and to correct an issue. Sometimes it was because it was just wrong, okay, not because of the way I might have handled some. Sometimes I might have been trying to do right, but I didn't do it right because I didn't know completely how to do it right, and he would correct me. This is what the Word of Bible, this is what the Bible says. It's for correction, instruction, reproof, instruction. Okay, so you, this is about submission to God. So I don't get, years ago, way back when, you know, when gas was below a dollar a gallon, my feelings would get hurt because it seemed like I was always wrong. But I was. But that's because the quality of life that God demands is much higher than what we demand. We look at the world and we can be so easily distracted because it looks like we act like kids. See, this is what it is about the world. They don't want to play all the time. There's a time. The Bible says there's a time for everything. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to play. God has given us all things to enjoy. But for the most part, he wants us to know his will and his way. Supersedes everything because all this stuff will become nothing. What is all this junk now? Okay, right now I got a cell phone. But after the rapture, I won't need a cell phone. And I could privately call an individual, speak to an individual without anybody hearing, without a use of a cell phone. See, we're talking about a tremendous life that we really don't think about. So a lot of this stuff that people glamorize, like they have the lifestyles of the rich and shameless that be on TV, I've never watched that because they don't have a clue. They just kids. That's all they are, caught up with a bunch of junk toys, and it makes them think they're important until they get old and start to die. Then they realize it was all about nothing. As Solomon said, vanity and vexation. All right, so now you want to study the word. Now understand that what Paul was talking about, what they had to study was the Old Testament. And if there were some available commentaries that had been written by prophets, okay? Now, but at the whole, again, they should have always, one thing about commentaries is they were always about faith building, giving you a clearer understanding, or as it says in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, giving you a sense of the word. In other words, so you could not just read it, but understand it and its application. So Paul is telling him, so you can't be led. The way that you know that you're being led of the Spirit is it's qualified by the word of God. So it's imperative that you study the Word of God. Basically, the New Testament, a lot of the New Testament, is a commentary of the Old Testament. we have a full understanding. You had to go back and you think the Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee, so he studied the law. He knew the word, he knew the law, but now he has the revelation of what it was all about. It wasn't just a bunch of rules to create a religion so that they would make their life challenging and confusing. It was about the development of the spirit man. See, we have more, and our generation has more information than any generation. And it's sad that because of that, even with that, we seem to act, or there's a percentage of us that act like we are back in Adam's time and don't know nothing. You know, I'm looking at this situation. Pray for Canada, you know, the free nation, the democratic nation, that at this present day in June 29th, 2021, don't allow Christians to go to church. Now, why would you not want people to go to a place that prepares them to obey the law? See, that is purely of the devil. But now the question is, why isn't the body of Christ in Canada able to overcome that? Somewhere, now this is my opinion. This is not my pastor's opinion. This is not Pastor O's opinion. This is nobody's opinion but Richard Overall. You know, I did a series called Seven Reasons Why Prayer Failed. Okay? One of them is what we're talking about now, being led of the Lord. One of the things about it that you find in Christianity is the attempt to democratize Christianity. That gave birth to what is commonly called denominations, where I will tell God what I will believe and what I won't believe. And when you do that, see, Satan is, I'm telling you, when you're dealing with a person is intelligent, now intelligence and wisdom ain't the same thing. It's obviously he's the Bible tells me I have to respect him even, you know. Believe me, I don't. But there has to be a reason. There is a reason. I'm thinking in Proverbs, it says, I think 26:2, it says, the curse for no reason does not come. Why are they being in this free democratic nation being held, being barred from going to church the same way they do in North Korea, which is a communist nation? China, communist nation. Why? Because at some point, somewhere in there, the percentage of believers have become so complacent that they're unable to override the stronghold of Satan. It does not matter. You look up, you reading Daniel, and now you, anybody that wants to refute that, please send me. You can send me an email at 7trainingday@gmail.com. Because in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 4, you had Daniel captivity. Okay, so he wasn't in. He didn't get, they didn't have voting rights. All right? But yet Daniel stood before God, submissive to God, obedient to God, a repentant man, repented of sin, even pleaded for the repentance of the nation. Okay? And when Daniel prayed, and I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and some other people prayed, enough of them prayed that at the end of the day, the king, one of the most vicious kings in history, Nebuchadnezzar, ended up on his knees praising God and saying, the Lord is God. So I have refused to be, so if you pray for them, you want to pray for the saints to get the spirit of wisdom. Now, that means to be able to understand things from God's perception. Okay? And I don't want you to be that, think of that as just a cliche. I want you to understand with the spirit, the intelligence, that is an active force. That is kind of like an invasive force. But it opens up where darkness is, light comes in and shine. That's what all that is in that simple phrase. Spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is correct use of knowledge. So you want them to have God's perception and the correct use of knowledge, which in this case is going to be, what is it in my life that is preventing us from being able to pray and turn this situation around? Now, some said it could happen in America. I don't think it's going to happen before the rapture, because I'm here. And I know some saints that know more about this than I do. And if we're here, listen. See, it's some things, it's two ways to deal with this thing. It's the way of love, and it's the way that Elijah and Elisha dealt with it. It can be dealt with, but it should be dealt with, because the government is thinking that they're above God. And the saints see, we have authority over America. Okay, I mean, I don't have time to teach about this, but that's what Paul talked about, just like on the opposite, when we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what it is. The battle ain't about flesh and blood. You know, I mean, this time in history is different. There are more of us than it's ever been. And right now in this time in period, he's only going to do. Now, I got this from two men of God and a woman of God. If we don't pray, he don't move. See, this is it. It's like, okay, I done gave you the Holy Spirit. I done gave you the Word. I done gave you teachers. I done gave you pastors after my own heart. I done gave you everything you need. Now I want to see you do what you need to do. See? So they are, but we can get caught up into just being ritualistic religionists. And then when something like this happens, case in point, when you hear somebody praying, if it be your will, Lord, the word of God is God's will. So if he say that we are to, let me read this in Hebrews chapter 10. This is the will of God. Verse 25. Now listen what he's saying. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Okay? Now, that's a commandment to go to church. Okay, I'm not going to get all into that, but there has to be a reason. So pray for God to unveil, give them the revelation that they need. Because again, like I said, you got various denominations that believe in different things, but they have put aside certain parts of the Bible, and they're not taking access to the fullness of the power of God. Is Satan greater than God? I don't think so. So why is this happening? And I'm sure that as many American Christians are praying for them. But there's something going on over there that God wants to change, and unless they bring about, because what? You know, I get this, getting locked up and going to jail, but you know what? I know Paul and them went to jail, and I get it that Martin Luther King went to jail, but I don't think that Paul did have. You know, I belong to a church that I think is like 20,000 people, and I would say at least 8,000, 10,000, 15. There's a high percentage, unlike most churches, that really know how to pray and do pray every day. Like we have church every morning, prayer every morning from, I think, 6 to 7 at the church. Then you got saints, and I get up every morning between 2, 3, and 5 and pray. So we know, we've been taught how to pray. And I know there's lots of churches like this, because I know of another church, Acting for Christ. They get up. They have church service every morning from Monday through Friday. So there are lots of churches, Grave Faith, Word of Faith, Running for Christ. There are lots of people that know how to pray. How is this happening in a democratic country? It's an inside event. That's how I'm convinced. So we have to pray for them to get a revelation of what they need to repent of, you know. Because one thing I would say, and I don't think my pastor was too far off, but when this COVID thing first hit, the first service we had, first thing came out of his mouth was, Lord, we repent. The first thing came out of his mouth, see, you know. And correct us and showed us the way. So then that's what need to happen. So somewhere, God right now, whatever they've been doing, gonna change. And if they the longer they take to change, And I know there's a sanctifier. I know one particular sanctifier. I take that back. I know two men of God over there. But it's the numbers, okay? The numbers. One can chase 1,000, two 10,000. So obviously Satan has concentrated a lot of force over there, and it's a lot of saints hoping and a praying when they should be believing and praying. And then there's the coordination of their life. There's a lot of issues involved, but that should not be happening. But that still comes back to this very issue, being led of the Lord. Because if I, when I don't get what I need, when I don't get done what needs to be done, I ask God, what am I doing wrong? Where am I wrong? Where am I short? And then correct it. Now, okay, so let us begin with day one, as it says in John 1:12, as many as have received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So you want to begin right now. And if you've never prayed this prayer, pray this prayer right now. Amen. And if you backslidden, pray along with us. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do believe that you sent Jesus to die for our sin. We believe that we were born in sin and that we have need of salvation, that we cannot get into heaven on our own goodness, but through the gift of righteousness that you give us. And Father God, we're asking for forgiveness for our sin. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you. I believe I have received them. I believe I have the salvation you promised. And I thank you, Jesus, for paying for it. And I believe I have it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, and again, like I said, we just getting started at this because your life, you have to be prepared. And now, okay, I pray a particular way, situations like this time period. When the weather is acting up. See, I realize that I have authority over the prince of the power of the air. Whatever is not normal, I can counter, but I've learned over the years that it has to be done in a specific manner. But, so that's just a fact of reality. I'm going to share some of that as we go through this. But again, that even came from my seeking God. And this is critical because you see this throughout both the Old and the New Testament. Seek God, seek God, seek God. Follow the Lord. Be led of the Lord. Led of the Spirit. And we're going to talk a lot about this. Amen. And with that, I just want to remember, I want you to remember that prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. And with that, I'll say shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. You will have everything that God has promised. See you next week in Jesus' name.
Grace through faith. I talked to a cat the other day, and he was like, man, I really want to come to Christ, but I got to clean my life up first, get my sins together. I told him, I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. Let me tell you my story. It starts like this.
It's 5:46 in the morning, tossing and turning, chest burning. Sermons in my head keep reoccurring, having visions in my head of a kid crying at the feet of the Father for all the wrong things that he did. Now I'm sweating in my sheets, can't sleep. My mind keeps telling me I'm 6 feet deep. Don't remind me, even though I'm still alive, I can't tell. The way I'm living my life, I feel I'm going to hell. God, they telling me I should accept you, that you had to lead a world because the world left you. Reason I can't change, like a mystery to me. So I make believe there really is a heaven for a G. Even though they say you love the world so much, you shed your blood. God, I feel I'm too messed up for love. They tell me come as I am, but I smell like smoke. My whole life's full of sin, cause it's all I know. The Bible told me that you died for my sins. If I believe in Christ, to save me from the end. But I'm scared to ask you to save me. My heart's so evil, I got thoughts that's full of hatred, hurting people. I thought that first I had to clean up my life. Now I'm here and I just need to cling to the light. I'm ready to do it, but Lord, I pray you understand. My life is a mess, will you take me as I am? Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own. Trying to make it alone, I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own. Trying to make it alone, I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. I'm really trying to be the man that my daddy never taught me to be. I'm grown up now, life ain't what I thought it would be. I made many mistakes in my past I can't fix. Now I'm staring at the truth. just crazy. Did you bleed on the cross for my sins to save me? But why would you die for me? My whole life I've been working for Satan while he fed lies to me. And now I'm hearing too much, trying to get a true touch of a love that can change me. I'm all screwed up, figure hell is what I deserve. But your word says we all fall short, so I guess we all ought to burn. Teach me, I want to learn how you can save a wretch like me before death says it's my turn. I think I finally understand, no matter my past, you still take me as I am. Will you take me as I am?
That we got, man. It's only Christ. So if you feel like you gotta clean yourself up before you can come to him, forget it. Just come to him. He'll take you as you are, and he'll change you from the inside out.